Regents, chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time.
Son, that is why we are here this morning. Help us to celebrate his one body as we are here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. you join me in prayer? Father God, I just pray and thank you so much that we could all be here together, see faces. And Father, I just pray for the words that you give Tom, that they would be the ones that each of us needs to hear today. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm going to try this. Feliz Día de la Madre. Close. That's Happy Mother's Day. For those of you who don't aren't as fluent in Spanish as myself. My name is Darden Keeler. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church, and I am here to tell you just a little bit about what's going on at Hope throughout the week, because the life of a Christian doesn't just take place on Sunday morning. It goes throughout every day, every week, every minute that we live. And so we talk about those things as part of worship because they are the way we worship God throughout the week. Now, here's the tricky thing is, every week when I come here, Pepe prints out this great bulletin, special for me. It has large print on it so I can see it real clearly, and she highlights what she wants me to talk about this morning. Here's the thing is, Pepe is homesick this morning, and that never happens. And so I don't have a bulletin, and I have no idea what's going on at home. There's stuff flashing on the screen up here. Oh, hey, thank you. What? Tom did it. Yay! Jack of all trades, master. And actually, Kevin did this, didn't she? Yeah. Didn't send it to us.
No, he was here late last night doing it.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you, Pepe, if you're watching. All right, so here's some things going on. There is the Hope Church Women's Study Group is on Monday evenings at 6:30, and they are studying through the book Find Your People, Building Deep Community in a Lonely World by Jeannie Allen. And I would say, if you have questions about that, you should talk to Pepe, but Pepe's not here, so that's going to be tricky for you. But you can still contact her. You can reach out to her on email or by text as well. The nursery play group has been moved to Thursday, so it's every other week on a Thursday. So we had it here last week. Won't be this coming week, but in 2 weeks you'll have another play group, and it's here Thursday mornings, 10:30 to 12:30. And Hope Church is still looking to support the Evans family after Rose's surgery. If you are interested in participating in bringing them a meal, you can look on the website at hopeisreal.org, and that will tell you everything you need to know. And I'm going to stall just a couple minutes while Tom puts on his microphone. I guess he's coming back up. Oh, he's coming back up. So, without further ado, I hear you, Tom.
So the recurring theme for the morning is Heavy's not here. So what's going to make this particularly fun is that she normally prints out for me a copy of my notes with the blanks filled in. So I printed one with the blanks filled in, but I don't know where it is. So $5 to the first person who finds the blanks filled in their bulletin. You have the filled one. I would love to have that, but I don't. So we're just going to press on, and this ought to be interesting. Did you find it? Probably the bottom one would be my guess, but I don't actually know, so, you know, it's okay, we'll get through this. Hopefully whatever I was going to say is in the Bible, and we can get it from there, and it's all good. Why don't we start by just having all of the important people come down? If you are in fifth grade or younger, we invite you for our children's chat.
We're not in a school at all.
You're not in school at all? You found a guitar pick. You have a Pokemon in your backpack that's worth a lot of money?
$100, he says.
You are a beautiful man.
Why does he get $5?
If I had $5, I'd give it to you. how are y'all doing?
Good.
So, there was a woman in the Bible. Her name was Tabitha. Is that a funny name? Tabitha?
Yeah.
Well, her other name was Dorcas. Yeah, that's not, that's an unfortunate name. That's what that is. Right? But it meant gazelle. Anybody know what a gazelle is?
No. It's like a deer.
It's like a deer in Africa, and they're very fast, and they're very beautiful. And so Tabitha was a very, let me read how they describe her. She was full of good works and acts of charity. What are acts of charity?
Like a charity is basically like giving a lot of money to some place.
Well, it could be money, yes. You could give money to a charity. Or you could serve in some way. You could do things that are kind to other people. And so she was known for being full of good works and acts of charity. And she became ill and she died. And the Bible says that they called Peter. You know who Peter was? ¿Quién fue Pedro? Uno de los discípulos, no? Peter was one of the disciples.
I think she was thinking of the play we watched, Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf, a different Peter. Yes. And so Peter came to where Tabitha was, and he knelt, as he knelt down and prayed, and turning to her, he said, "Tabitha, arise." What do you think happened?
She arose.
She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known all throughout Joppa, that's the town that Tabitha lived in, and many believed in the Lord. So, why do you think God healed Tabitha? She was very special and kind, but sometimes we lose people who are special and kind, right? But it says here that it became known that Peter had prayed for her and she rose from the dead. It became known throughout that whole area and many believed in the Lord. So God used the healing of Tabitha to do what? Help people believe, to spread the faith, to spread his love, so that more and more people would listen to what Peter had to say. And did you know Peter wrote part of the Bible? Yes, he did. And so it helps us to take what he wrote seriously if we know that God used him to heal Tabitha, right? Okay. So God will sometimes use his power to do things that are special, but it's always for a purpose. And the purpose is he wants his love to be known by more and more people. Does everyone in the world know that God loves them through Jesus Christ?
Yes.
No, not everybody knows, right? So we should tell them. We should help them see by the way we live, the way we treat other people, by doing good works and acts of charity. We can help other people see who God is. Yes?
For example, the Romans and the Aztecs, Inca, and Mayans didn't know about God.
The Romans, the Aztecs, the Incas, and the Mayas did not know about God until missionaries came to explain God's grace to them. And then the missionaries that explained it to the Mayas and the Aztecs gave them diseases and enslavement. But that's not important. We are supposed to show God's love to the world. Doesn't always work out well, but that's what we're supposed to do. Right? Okay. Can I pray for you guys before you go to Hope for Kids? All right. Dear God, thank you for your eternal word and for the love that you have shown to Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the things that you have done that help us to understand that
you are faithful to your promises. Thank you that you give us your word and you call us to live as your children in your house, to be people who do good works and acts of charity to help others understand who you are and to see how much you love them. I pray your blessing over these children as they spend time in Hope for Kids. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them into a deeper understanding of how much you love each one of them. I pray your blessing over them and their teachers and helpers. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great time in Hope for Kids. Amazing resets in Scripture, the ways in which God moved in different people's lives to completely change their circumstances. And we want to look at these resets through a couple of lenses. What was the reset that was taking place? What did it mean for that person, for the people around them? And then what does it mean for us? What are we to take from these changes that we see in people's hearts and lives in Scripture? How, in what ways are they calling us to be changed by the power of God? And so we are, in this series, we've looked at, we started at the cross, or the resurrection, really, on Easter Sunday, and then we worked our way through Peter and Thomas and an Ethiopian, and a few others, and we got last week to the Apostle Paul, and which is also at the beginning of the chapter we're in this week, and we saw how God changed Saul, who was persecuting the church, trying to put Christians in prison, and then God converted him and changed him to where he was put in prison for his faith. And we saw that complete reset and how important it was to the church, to what God was doing in the world at that time. And the beginning of the chapter we're in, of the portion of chapter 9 from the book of Acts that we're looking at today, sort of begins where we left off last week. I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer, and then we're going to open God's word to Acts chapter 9. If you would join me as we prepare our hearts for God's word. God, our loving Father, we come before you today. We give you thanks for the love that we have experienced through our mothers and grandmothers, and we just thank you for them and all that they have meant to us. And we pray that as we open your word today, we would see more of your love here through the lens of your word, that you would be speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. And to that end, we lay at the foot of your cross the burdens of our hearts, that we might be more free to encounter you here through your word today. Lord, we lift to you those relationships in our lives that are strained, and we pray for peace and reconciliation where it is needed. We lift to you those who grieve, and we pray you would comfort them. We lift to you those who are sick or facing uncertain diagnoses, and we pray your healing mercies over them. We pray especially for Pevy this morning, and just pray that you would work your healing in her body and restore her to full health and function so that our church can continue to function well. Lord, we pray for our country, our leaders at every level of government, elected and appointed. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment in the decisions that are before them. We lift up our men and women in uniform. We pray you would watch over and protect them, especially those who are in harm's way. We ask you to bring them home safely. And Lord, we lift to you those who've returned home from their service changed. We pray your healing over them, mind, body, and soul. Use us, your church, to extend your grace in this world to all who are in need of your love. And Lord, we lift up your church all over the earth as we worship you today, on the first day of the week that your son was resurrected from the dead. May your word go forth through the mouths of your people, and may it not return to you empty. We pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to be in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to be reading verses 31 through 43. And while I'm reading, I need a native Spanish speaker to come forward and stand next to me so that when I'm done, you can read this in Spanish. And I'm going to need a mic for that. So, all right. Necesito un alguien quien habla español venir adelante. Gracias, Yolanda. Okay. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. If I can just reinterrupt what I'm reading again, just to give you the context. The Apostle Paul has come to Christ, and he was persecuting the church, and now he's been advancing the gospel, explaining how Jesus can be seen in the Old Testament and how he is the Messiah and we should place our faith in him. And that's where we get the so in verse 31. So the church had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda, where he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner.
Entretanto, la iglesia gozaba de la paz por toda Judea, Galilea y Samaria, y era edificado y andando en el tomar del Señor y en la fortaleza del Espíritu Santo. Seguía creciendo. Y mientras Pedro viajaba por todas aquellas regiones, vino también a los santos que vivían en la lista. Allí encontró a un hombre llamado Eneas, que había estado postrado en la cama por 8 años, porque estaba paralizado. Y Pedro le dijo, "¿Eres Jesucristo? Te sana, levántate y haz tu cama." Y al instante se levantó todos los que vivían en Lidia y se desharon, lo vieron y se convirtieron al Señor. Había entonces en Jope un discípulo llamada Tabitha, que traducía el griego de Dorcas. Esa mujer era rica en obras buenas y de caridad. Y hacía continuamente, y sucedió que en ellos, en esos días, se enfermaron y murieron. Y lavando su cuerpo, lo pusieron en un aposto ante cómo Linda estaba cerca de Joven. Los discípulos, al oír que Pedro estaba allí, le invitaron los hombres, rogándole, no tardes en venir a nosotros. Entonces Pedro se levantó y fue con ellos. Cuando llegó, lo llevaron al apóstol alto. Y todas las viudas lo rodearon llorando. Estaban con ellos, más Pedro haciendo al salir a todos, se arrodillaron y oró. Y volviéndose al cadáver, dijo, Tabita, levantaré, y ella abrió los ojos. Oh, Tabita, levántate, y ella abrió los ojos. Y al ver a Pedro, se encontró, y él lo dio a la mano y la levantó, llamando a los santos y las viudas. La presentó viva. Y esto es supo en todo lo que. Y muchos creyeron en el Señor. Y Pedro se quedó en Lupe muchos días con su tal Simón Curtidor.
Perfecto. Gracias. So, hopefully, you see a recurring theme among these three resets, that of the Apostle Paul, which precedes this passage, and what does it say in verse 31? The church throughout was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. And then in verse 35, after Aeneas is healed, the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. And then in verse 42, it became known, the healing of Tabitha became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So the first thing I want us to focus on here is that these spiritual resets, these complete transformations of human hearts and souls, are contagious. This is the first aspect that I want us to just sort of stop and recognize. That when God moves to transform a person, it's never just about that person. It's about the spread of his love. The temptation when we pray for healing is to pray for a single person, which we do, and that's okay. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when God moves, it's always part of a bigger plan. There's always more going on than just the person in question. And there is a truth here that we need to just sort of stop and recognize. When you read these stories of these
complete healings and coming from death to life and from paralysis to walking and from oppressing the church to being oppressed by the church or for the sake of the church. The temptation is to ask questions like, well, why doesn't this still happen? Why don't we pray like this? Why don't we expect these transformations to continue to happen? We should pray optimistically with the power of God in view for the people that we know to be in need. That's good. That's healthy. That's right. There's something else that I want us to focus on in this passage, and it's the bigger picture. This isn't just about Paul's conversion. It's not just about Aeneas' healing. It's not just about Tabitha coming from death to life. It's about this bigger movement of the Word of God, the love of God among a new people. I'll try to explain how we see God at work in the book of Acts. He uses Saul, who's a Jewish Pharisee. He's a leader among the Jewish people. He's very well respected. And he is absolutely dedicated to the destruction of this new little group of Jewish people who were worshiping Jesus as the Messiah. And at the time that this person, Saul, focused on the church in Jerusalem, which is where Christians are at this point. They're all in Jerusalem, and some are in Galilee where Jesus grew up. And the apostle or the Pharisee, Saul, whose name becomes Paul after he's converted, rains down terror on these people in Jerusalem so fiercely they leave Jerusalem and are seeking refuge in the homes of relatives and friends in cities and towns that are as far away as they can get because they're afraid they're going to be killed. And some of them were. And so as this persecution breaks out, God is literally sending reluctant missionaries all over the near Middle East because of what Saul is doing. And then Saul gets orders from the Jewish court in Jerusalem to go get these Christians in another city, and in the city of Damascus to be specific. And so he heads to Damascus with these orders to arrest Christians there. So he's going to take the persecution out to these places where he has heard the Christians have fled and they're starting churches in all these other towns and cities. And Saul is like, boy, we must not let this happen. These are heretics. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God. We cannot have this. And so off he goes, and on the road, you heard this last week if you were here, he is stopped by God. There's a flash of light, and we believe this to be a spiritual flash of light. And everyone who was traveling with him saw the flash, and they heard a voice speaking to Saul. And that voice, did my mic die? Okay. Just a couple of AA batteries ought to fix it. Yeah, I've got the
that's back on.
But it's flashing the emergency battery. So, all right. You see, Peppy leaves and just chaos reigns. It's just not okay. Let me make a quick battery switch. Let us pray. To the bigger picture. the church is spreading, and Saul goes after one of these new branches of Christianity, and he's stopped along the way, and he is converted, and he is shown the light, so to speak, literally. And the one who was out to arrest the members of the way, of the movement of seeing Jesus as the Messiah, he now joins their group. They're a little suspicious of him at first. They at first think, oh, he's faking it because he wants to infiltrate and figure out who the leadership is. And then they very quickly see that because of his education, he is very quickly able to start making connections between what God was saying in the Old Testament and the fulfillment of all of that in the person of Jesus as the Messiah. And so the one who was the most energetic against Christianity is converted to Christianity and becomes this force of spreading the gospel. And you see in verse 31 of this chapter, talking about the message is spreading because Paul is now, everyone's like, wait a minute, wasn't he the one that was trying to squash this thing? And now he seems to be the most ardent arguer for. And so you see this movement, you see one conversion catalyzed into literally thousands of conversions, and ultimately millions and even billions of conversions. And this is the first and most important thing to notice in this passage, is that one transformation leads to many. That when we have this experience in our hearts that literally changes us from lost to found, just take the words of Amazing Grace and apply them to yourself, right? This wretch has been made into a child of God. I don't understand why, but here we are. And each one of those conversions, those resets, those transformations of the human heart and soul leads to others. God uses one to bring about more. This is the first and most important principle in this passage. One transformation leads to many, and each transformation is part of a larger plan. All of the people who are healed in these passages will later go on to experience physical death again, and they will be laid to rest, and they will be no more on this earth. Their healing, as it's recorded here, was not for that individual. And so I want to be as clear as I can. We should pray for healing. We should always pray. We should expect that God has the power to bring about the answer to those prayers. But the purpose is way, way, way bigger than the person. And so when our prayers are not answered, it doesn't mean that God isn't listening. It means that his greater purpose is still at work, and we're still a part of that. And the most important component of all of these resets is the spiritual component, the use of these miracles to bring other hearts and souls into the light of God's love. That is the purpose that God is most concerned with. It is the purpose that the author of the book of Acts continues to return to again and again and again. And we don't want to miss that purpose and think that God always wants us to be healed. We will, I don't like saying this, but we will all pass from this life, right? Therefore, not every prayer for healing will be answered. There's a bigger plan, and sometimes, in the course of that bigger plan, God chooses to bring some people through physical ailments to healing, to restoration. Other times, he does not. And I can't explain why some and not others. I cannot. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not your lack of faith. The Bible does not teach that. That if you pray for someone to be healed and they're not healed, it's not because you don't have enough faith. God is not here to beat you up. He's here to draw you toward his heart, to show you what love is, and to bring about within you the transformation that is contagious. He wants to make you part of his eternal plan. And so one of the things we can pray when we pray is, God, include me. Include me in this contagious spread of your love. Be at work. I'm open. I'm here. And if it's through healing this person, great. If it's some other way, great. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have to see when we read these stories that there's a bigger plan, but these resets are contagious. One leads to many, and each one is part of a larger plan that's more about the spreading of faith than it is about the healing of a body that's going to pass at some point anyway. Resets are contagious, and resets are supernatural. This is the sort of second truth that we see. What God did to Paul was out of the blue. He was traveling, flash of light, conversion of a soul. He didn't even really understand what was going on. And going back to the healing, flash of light hit Paul. He went blind. And when he got to where he was told to go, a Christian was there who was a little bit afraid, and God told that person to pray. Scales fell off of Paul's eyes, and he, I once was blind, but now I see. We're back to the words of Amazing Grace. And Paul has this complete spiritual conversion. It is supernatural what happens to him. And we are to see that what happens to us spiritually is supernatural. This is the power of God breaking into a human soul. I did not figure out the Da Vinci Code and then become a Christian. That's not how it works. I didn't figure something out. I was stubborn. I was selfish. I was prideful, and God chose to break into this hardened heart and show me what his love looked like. That change was supernatural. And my wife would tell you, I'm still stubborn and selfish, and what was the other one? Prideful. Yes, that one. Yes. Actually, I'm humble. I'm the most humble pastor I know, and I love to tell people how humble I am. But the point is, we don't deserve this grace, and that's part of the thing that makes it amazing, is this something supernatural has taken place within me that I cannot fully explain. I didn't choose it. I didn't figure it out. I didn't deserve it. It just happened because people who loved Jesus showed me God's love. The way it works. And so he somehow chooses to work through his people, as bad as we are at it. But in scripture or in this room, it's supernatural. It is pointing toward a of these stories is not the physical healing. The point of these stories is the supernatural breaking forth of God's love into the world to transform human hearts from lost to found. It is the spiritual reality that is working against the power of sin and death. And so you see in these stories people going from paralysis to walking, from death to life, from persecuting to persecuted. You see these transformations. Those are not the ultimate point. The ultimate point is spiritual transformation, the spiritual change that takes place inside of the human heart by and only by the power of God. And so when Peter or any other follower of Christ offers a prayer and a physical miracle takes place, it is always for the spiritual purpose of the spreading of God's love. That's why these stories are important. By the power of God. If God has the power to take a man who's been paralyzed for 8 years and make him walk, and if God has the power to take a sweet woman who has passed away and make her live again, then he has the power to change me, or you, or anyone else on this earth. That is the point of the story, that these resets are supernatural by the power of God against the power of sin and death and toward healing and life, but primarily spiritual healing and spiritual life, or eternal life, as the Bible calls it. So resets are contagious. They are supernatural. And all biblical resets share a purpose. They are here to confirm and establish God's word. Think about it. Peter is called to Tabitha's home because the followers of Jesus know that God has worked through him in the past to do miraculous things. They've seen it happen. And so they call him, maybe just because they know there's a bunch of hurting people there, and they need a pastor to come and be present. They just want the strength of his presence. Peter shows up and feels the Spirit of God telling him to do what he did. And he does what almost certainly no one in the first century would have expected. He goes and prays for this woman, and she comes back to life. When that happens, what does that do for Peter's credibility as a disciple? I would say it's well established at that point. Who's going to argue with the guy, right? Like, that's, it's not just impressive, it's clearly miraculous. It's clearly the power of God at work through this human. And Peter was humble enough to say that on other occasions, like, this isn't me. This is God working through me. I'm just like you, and I'm just here because I felt God called me here. And so the point, the purpose, is that these miracles occur to affirm, confirm, and establish God's word through Peter, who would then go on to write part of the New Testament. And in Peter's writings in the New Testament, he actually says, he references the Apostle Paul and the other scriptures. And so because of Peter's testimony, we know that Paul's writings are scripture, and we know that there are other writings in the New Testament that constitute scripture. All of this goes back to the purpose behind these miracles, to establish and confirm for us, even today, that this is God's word, and it is reliable, it is trustworthy, it is true, it is valid, It is good. It gives life. It works against the power of sin and death. These miracles serve to confirm and establish God's word, to establish the credibility of the messenger and the message that Jesus is the hope of the world. And these resets share their other purpose, which is the spreading of God's love. They occur in each of their contexts for this very purpose, that people will come to understand how much God loves them through Jesus Christ. And so we see that God is at work here and now, and that we are part of a larger movement of the Spirit to change human hearts. This is what God is up to. This is His purpose. This is His plan. This is who He is, to be at work, moving in such a way that supernatural change comes about inside of here, in our hearts and souls, that we can be transformed and given hope that there is life beyond this, that this life is all there is, that God's love, think about it, existed before creation, before any of us, before any of this, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in an eternal state of love with each other. Then creation, and at some point, all of this creation will come to its conclusion, and there will still be love. Except the difference is, this time, you will have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of those souls experience this transformation that we talk about, that have been broken open from their hardened state, softened, and made to understand who God is through Jesus Christ, that His love transforms even today. He has the power to change a human heart. I don't know about you, I can't do that. We don't have that power. God alone possesses the power to say, I love you, I'm going to change you forever. Will you pray with me? God, our loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the God of the supernatural, who existed before the natural, and who will exist forever. And that you have called us into your family as your children to be part of your eternal plan. Lord, include us that we might play our part in the spread of your love in this world, that we might yield unto you our own hearts and souls to be transformed by the power of your grace. And then that you would use those changes to bring about the spread of your love, your gospel, the sacrifice of your Son, that more and more might come to understand how much you love us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Scott Baller. I'm one of the elders here at Hope Church. We've come to our time of offertory. This is a time where we reflect on the message that Tom gave, but we also think about ways that we can give back to God. Here at Hope Church, we do not pass a plate. We do have a QR code on the back of your bulletin. We also have a bucket in back. And when you think about giving back, it just ties right into the message that each one of us has been reset. And yes, the church needs finances to be able to keep the lights on, to have actual missionaries that go out to other areas of, but we all have talents that God has given us. Whether you're in the praise band, or you're working with the children in the back, in the nursery, or in the Hope for Kids, we all have ways that we can give back to God. And as you think about this message that Tom gave, that each one of us has been reset, and yet it's a greater purpose, as Tom mentioned. And I love that part here. It's a bigger story. It's not about each one of us here on Sunday morning. It's about how God is going to use you to spread his word. And there's no pressure because Peter didn't make the change. It was God. And God will work through each one of us. We all have spheres of influence. And what I'd like you to think about this next week is, how is God going to use you to further his kingdom? Who are you going to interact with that needs to be reset? So take a moment as the music plays to think about how God can use you and your spirit influence this next week to further his kingdom. Dear Heavenly Father, you created each one of us. And you created each one of us with a purpose. As the Great Commission says, to go out there and make disciples of all of the world. Allow each of us this next week to interact with that one individual that you have placed on our heart that needs to be reset. And through your love, they will be reset. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand and sing one last song with us this morning? Your God is a God of blessing, and he wants you to go forth from this place into the week ahead, knowing that his love and his blessing go with you. Will you open your hearts, receive the blessing of our Lord today, and take it with you into the week ahead to give shape to who you are and to how you live? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in his peace. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.